Hi, and welcome to another episode of K-Pop Cosmos. I am your host, Rhea, and with me once again is the lovely Tracy. How are you doing, Tracy?
I'm all good. I'm all ready to shake my butt along with some of the songs. There's a lot of butt shaking out of this band.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I told you, so like I said before, and I'm not shy, you know, obviously, about my opinion. I don't like girl groups usually, and they're just, they're not for me for the most part. There are exceptions, which we've already covered one. So with AOA, they debuted back in 2012. In August with the song called Elvis. And because of their debut song, their fandom is actually called Elvis, which is cute. I love fandom names. They're always so cute. So with the members, they have decreased the number. They originally, I believe, was 7, and now they're down to 5. So the remaining members are Jimin, Yuna, and Haejong, sorry once again with pronunciations, Korean is not my forte, Seol Hyun, and I believe Chanmi. The former members are Choa, she was one of the lead singers, Mina, Yu Kyung, I don't remember her, and so those three are former members. Two did not re-sign their contract when it was up. And I believe Choa, she left due to insomnia and depression, which I can we can understand considering these idol groups, they go through a lot of stress, especially with like diets and weight management and just the crazy hours and the sheer amount of work.
And especially, especially with the female bands, it's crazy because there is very much a, you need to be a certain weight, you need to be a certain shape, you need to be, you know, and like I when I was looking into the band a bit more, it was that really hit me that, you know, three people out of the band left, that two decided not to re-sign their contracts, and they say it's to do it because they wanted to focus on their own, you know, solo stuff. And then one had the guts to say, no, this is killing me. And I would be very surprised if the other two didn't have something on the lines of that, why they also decided not to re-sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of, with that, there's also a lot of things, because the culture is different over there. In Korea, at least I know in Korea, it is legal for your boss to come up and tell you that you're fat or you're unattractive, and he can legally do that. So these girls probably had managers. Yeah, I know, right? You think about it over like the West, and you're like, that would be sexually harassing a lot of you. And you'd be like, excuse me, you know?
Right, I both have to be brought into HR for violence. Excuse me. you did just not say that.
But they have to, people, you need to not romanticize, like, just because you like the music and stuff. Those cultures and other, every country has its problems, and you need to understand that. And Korea, you know, even with like the cutesy, it looks so nice and blah blah blah, they still have their problems. There's a lot of things going on, especially for women over there. And so Choa saying it's depression, it really is very brave of her. It's not like in the West where people can talk about that very easily. Over in Asian countries, not so much. And it's very brave of her to do that. But anyway, sorry, got stuck on negative. But anyway,
you know, get your stuff out so we can talk about your shaky bums.
Yeah, now,
because my brain is exploding. I swear to God, I started watching some of the videos. I'd heard some of the songs, obviously, and I was like, yeah, these are nice. Like, they got a good sound to them. Every video, man, they have that shaky bum thing down. You know, it's like the window wipers where they're going side to side. And it's kind of mesmerizing.
It really is. You're like, oh my gosh. But you can see how it's designed to attract men, though, right? Like,
That video, they're wearing like hold up stockings with this beautiful black dress, but it's quite short, and they're dancing away, and then the bum thing goes, and then they go mini skirt, and then they open the zip at the side of it right up to their hip, and you're going,
yeah.
Okay. And then the shaky bum thing starts again.
Yeah, girl groups, not for me so much, but oh, it is very mesmerizing. And these girls do have talent. I could not do any of that, especially in heels. And some of the dance moves are super cutesy, and that pains me. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I'm not their target audience. But you know.
The thing was, they started out, and when, again, this is from me doing my research, they weren't the sexy appeal. They didn't have, that wasn't what they started with. That wasn't the road that they wanted to go down. And their first, I think it was their first three mini albums, didn't do that well until they'd done the revamp and the sexiness and brought out Miniskirt, which was one of their first actual successful singles. And the tours, and it pains me to see that these very talented women, it's very much Pussycat Dolls, very much you know, kind of bringing some kind of burlesque styling into this, you know, Girls Aloud. It's just mash of, you know, all these sexiness that's over the top. But
yeah,
you see who it's enticing, and it's not enticing young women.
yeah, and it is very sad, because like you said, they are very talented. And I'm also with AOA. They originally, their concept was they're gonna have two units, I guess, like a subunit, and it was gonna be AOA White and AOA Black. And AOA Black was the girls who could play the instruments, so it was more like a rock group. I don't know. I completely forgot to like add them in because they kind of were.
Yeah. There's AOA White, Black, and Cream. If my serves me correctly, and the girls from AOA Black got to do one or two shows, and Cream seemed to take over and do a lot more, and you can't really find a lot of AOA Black online.
No, you really can't. And it's
that.
Yeah, and I liked AOA Black when I was going through this, because I didn't really look at AOA before, but I did enjoy AOA Black because I love, I guess, more of the rock kind of thing vibe. And it's really sad, but most of those members are the ones who left. So I mean, I can understand, because they were probably promised that they could do this band thing, but then it got pushed to the side, and they've probably felt neglected over that, because then they had to keep doing the, you know, the sexy and stuff, and it would be really frustrating.
And I think they were, as a musical band, they were so talented, and they all had an instrumental appeal, because they could play their instruments, and it was just, again, if that was a boy band, which is a sad thing, that would have skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it had a huge appeal to a huge audience. Mm-hmm. But because they weren't wearing the sexy clothes, even though I've seen a couple of bits, and they look great in, like, with the guitar and the girl and the drums. And it was like, they were still really sexy, but without, you know, hot pants.
Yeah, there's not as not doing the windshield wiper.
Yeah, shaky bum bum.
Shaky bum bum. Yeah, it's just it is. I don't want to say depressing because now they're doing better, but it is kind of sad that they had to. How to word this? I don't want to like upset the fans, but it kind of feels like they had to degrade themselves in a degree to get fans, and they shouldn't have to be able, you know, men, at least with K-pop, men don't have to like rip their shirts off and whatnot. They don't have to do that to be popular.
You don't have to, but it'd be nice if they did it more often.
Yes, it would be nice. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that it's kind of sad what women have to go through to, you know, succeed in some of their industries, especially the entertainment industry, you know, the things they have to do and whether they want to or not. And it's just, I mean, they are very attractive women and that's understandable, but at the same time, you don't have to be the mini skirts and
I think, you know, as people go, the girls who are left, there's five, I think, now, isn't it? Five or six, there's five of them, isn't there?
Yeah,
and they're all highly educated young women.
Yes, they are.
And this is what people forget, like they're writing the majority of their songs. They are musically inclined, and it's like that gets lost in this culture of sex sells, you know. And it's just, and I know I'm being quite sarcastic when I say about the shaky bum bum, but like that's their trademark now, and that's what they're stuck with because that's the road they had to go down. It's not saying that their music is any less, because their songs are quite catchy, they're quite entertaining. They're very high energy at times, and very, very well put together. And as you said, the dance routines are phenomenal, but there's only so much of the sexiness before it becomes repetitive.
Yeah.
And their videos are very repetitive.
Yeah, they are. And to talk about their songs a bit, yeah, I kind of, with AOA, they're kind of, I wanted to say bubblegummy pop.
Yes.
Because they are very catchy songs, but if you go and you read the lyrics, there's no real substance. And I'm sorry, I didn't go through every single song, and because there's a lot of songs, but the mass majority of them are the same. They're all about, you know, being in a relationship with a guy or chasing a guy, and that's it. Yeah. You know,
it's like, and we don't have a man, we're not worth it.
Yeah, and one of the songs is called Short Hair. She talks about this one really kind of stands out. Like, I love the music video. It's bright and colorful and, you know, all of that, and it's very pleasing to the eye. But the actual song itself, it's talking about how she doesn't like how she looks, and she's supposed to go meet her guy for a date, so she cuts her hair, and then she's like, I feel so much better now because I have a new hairdo. And I'm like, but what? Okay. Like, what does that mean? Is there an underlying, you know, something I'm missing? But at the same time, it doesn't feel like there is. It feels like it's just very shallow in its meaning, and just, you know. And that's what I feel like all their songs are like, with Excuse Me. It's, hey, I just saw you, but here's my number.
Don't call me, baby.
Call me, baby. Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was reading the lyrics. I was like,
do you know what? I was thinking the exact same thing.
But at the same time, like, it's a very, those are very catchy songs, and all of their songs are catchy, but I don't know. It doesn't. And can I just say, for the Excuse Me, I kind of want their comeback stage outfits, the little plaid kind of thing.
Yes.
I do. I want that for science purposes.
Okay.
I won't be wearing it outside, but yeah.
See, these are ideas that these girls are giving us.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, oh, those are cute. I would not wear that at my house. But
it's one of these little like outfits. They I was reading something when they played in America, and they had these tiny, tiny little like hot panties dress skirts on with these orange belly tops, and I was like, you're trying to be cheerleaders, but you're not cheerleaders, and it's like, no, don't do it. Don't try and be South American. Stick to what you're doing. It was weird.
The little hot pants, I can't. It's just it, but they don't get to choose their outfits, so you know, you do what you do. And like we said, we're not, for everyone listening, we're not hating on AOA. We're just, you know,
we're not at all, because they, as we said, they are highly intelligent, very attractive young women. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that they don't get to do anything of purpose and substance, because they have such a big voice with their Elvis's following. Elvis's. So they're the actual ones with the power.
Yeah.
You know, as fans, you guys are the ones with the power. You know, we talked a little bit there earlier on about our disappointment with AOA Black being disbanded and pushed to the side because it wasn't mainstream enough. But how many of their Elvises are not mainstream as well? But they love them, but they also have their AOA Black side, if that's the way we want to put it. It's down to the fans to you know, request that to come back.
Yeah.
That can get that to happen. You know, these women can play instruments, they can sing, they can dance their little bums off. Why not allow them to do something more than, you know, I'll take you to the candy shop.
It the fans do have all the power with these groups, and you know, a lot, and they recognize that over there. I don't know how much the U.S. artists do, considering how badly most U.S. artists treat their fans. I'm looking at you, Bieber, punching your fan in the face. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm calling you a Bieber. We're not believers at all.
I've never been a believer.
Really. Never.
Anyway. Yeah. Moving away from him. I did also forget to mention AOA isn't part of the big three. Their record label is actually FNC Entertainment, so they're from a really, really small entertainment company, and so that right there, kind of, they're lucky that they've been around for as long as they have, because usually these small company groups don't last at all, because they just don't make the money. And I think there was a former K-pop star who went and he, I think I had you watch this video, he went and he talked about how much K-poppers idols actually make. They make less than minimum wage in the U.S. Like, they make like $30,000 a year, and that's really sad because they work like 12 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're still making only $30,000, and you know, they really do give up a lot for just their dream and their fans, and because a lot of them can't date, and it's just crazy. And so these people, they, you know, it's inspiring, but at the same time it's also depressing.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, oh, I would never be able to do that. I have a hard enough time getting up early in the morning because I want sleep, so you know, I wouldn't be able to do these long hours. And then, you know, so that just goes to show how strong they are individually, because you have to be a very strong person to be able to do that. And so even the bubblegum pop groups have to do that. And can I just on a positive note, because I keep going back to the negative and how depressing it is, but I do, there is one song that I actually added to my playlist, and I downloaded. It's the Show Me the Love. It's the car, and they're in like the checkered outfits and the red.
They have a guest, the guy singing with them as well.
So he is my main man. He's my Japanese rocker. TM Revolution. So, Takanori Nishikawa. Oh my gosh, this man, he's almost in his 50s and he is still going strong. Sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent because I love this man. This man has been around since the 90s. Yeah. I love him. Oh my gosh, if I could go on about like J-Rockers, that's my jam. But yeah, this man's amazing. And so I was like, oh, I love this song. And I had it on repeat for a while because I'm like, this is so great. And I read more and I'm like, oh, TM Revolution's in this. No wonder he wrote the song for them because he's like a music producer, writer, blah, blah, blah. And I love his songs. And for anyone listening, if you're into anime, you've most likely heard at least one of his songs because he does a lot of anime intros.
Well, then we must do a full podcast on that one then. That might be the next couple.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can do a special K-pop. Sorry, it's not K-pop, special. It's K-pop.
We can do a special.
Yeah, talk about J-Rockers. Woo! So, yeah, that would be a very interesting thing.
This is another thing that I don't know about, so you're going to have to tell me all about it.
J-Rock, that's a darker alleyway we need to walk down.
I will walk with you, my friend. It's definitely not AOA.
Yeah, you look at AOA and think complete opposite. So this the Give Me the Love or whatever, that song, oh, I love it. It's completely different than anything else I've done. And it's definitely like a, I don't know, it's kind of just a grooving song. I don't know how to describe it. It's my taste. But I don't really know. AOA, they have actually come a long way. I believe they've been nominated quite a bit recently. So let me double check some things, because they're just, like we said, all of these girls, they're so talented, and they have, let me think, they've actually won 9 awards total.
Wow. And they've
nominated for 44. Which is, even being nominated is huge, honestly, because there's so many groups out there. There's like 36 every year that come out, and very few stick around.
Yes.
Like, most of them. Yeah, it really is. Because all of these, like I said, they all work so hard. And in Korea, they have to train. So like, they've been training even before any music's been put out or that they're even revealed as a group. For, you know, sometimes it can be up to like 10 to 12 years that they're training, so that they can sing while dancing. And there's a lot that goes into these groups. Mm. Like, it's not just, oh, you're cute, you're coming.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, anyone can look gorgeous if you have a professional makeup stylist, you know, and makeup artist and a hairstylist. You know, just a clothing stylist in general, anyone can be super attractive with the right, you know, makeup. So that's not really a thing. And there's no such thing as an unattractive idol. It's just, it doesn't exist.
They don't at all.
Yeah, and like, but it's just,
I think as well, because of the, like, with the controversies, how they say, with people leaving and, you know, it's just, it's hard for bands trying to get together and sustain. And then, you know, when you're not getting what you want from this big industry, it's hard for them to kind of be okay with not moving on. and, you know, just putting out the same thing over and over, because that's not what any of these bands want, you know. So hopefully the band themselves as a five piece will be able to kind of pull together and try and sway the way, so that they can, you know, because the songs aren't horrendous, you know. It would be different if we came on to hate on them and be like, oh my god, these are rubbish. They're not, you know. They have a very specific sound and they're good at that sound, but you can tell that they would be brilliant at other things too. And you would love for them to be able to have the opportunity to, you know, put that out there.
Yeah, and that is completely up to their label, which controls pretty much everything, every aspect of their life. So, you know, they're the ones who set the concepts and the, this is the songs that we're going to be singing and things like that. And they have to get the okay. They're like the overly protective parent of these groups. So, you know, they, and it really is, because a lot of these, they, and also you have to live together.
They have
to get your own place for a lot of these groups. And so could you just imagine living with like six other girls?
No, and sometimes these places are really tiny, so you have to share rooms, and I would just that stress. It's just, it's like having, I hate having roommates. I love living alone. So I lived with roommates once and it was the worst experience. Yeah, like I love my roommates now that I'm away from them, but like,
there's always so much, only so much.
Yeah, there's always, and it's just, I wouldn't be able to work and live with the same people, because I would be seeing them 24/7, you know, 365. It would drive me nuts. It would drive me nuts, and the fights and just.
And I'd say there is. I know we've spoken about this before as well, but there must be such internal struggles within the group, you know? And you see with all girl groups, you know what I mean? We'll take some of the most famous ones. Like, we'll look at the Supremes and Diana Ross, and Diana Ross got more famous than the Supremes, and the Supremes broke up, you know? There's the Spice Girls, you know what I mean? Jerry left, then somebody else left, and then they all broke up, and then, you know, and then they do their reunion tours now because it's like 70 million years later. But they all were able to have their own space.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they may have lived together at the start, but as their fame progressed, they all had their own space, their own lives, their own, you know, money. These girls are not like that. They're in their training camps. They're being watched and fed and clothed and treated like animatronic dummies, like from one of their, you know, videos. It's, you know, it's really hard to think how you would deal with that on a day-to-day basis without losing the plot with each other and, you know, going postal. So I have a lot of respect for that. I could.
Yeah, and keeping up the happy face for, you know, because there's always cameras and there's always people, and you have to be happy and peppy and nice to each other, because if you're not, then, you know, a certain person who may be a fan of that member that you snapped at might, you know, they might freak out at you, and then you start receiving these horrible text messages, you know, horrible messages, and you have the crazy fans who show up at your house, and, you know,
and you take a shotgun out and go, drop my lawn.
or they show up inside your house. That would be,
yeah,
that's terrifying. I mean, that's scary. And
K-popers out there, seriously, chill out.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's not that cool. You know, you don't just show up in somebody's house.
Yeah.
And if you did, at least bring some chocolate.
Yeah, they won't be able to eat it, but, you know, at least, you know. But yeah, I mean, if you truly care about these people, why would you want to put them in, you know, a terrifying experience? And why, you know, them in any way? That doesn't mean that you like them. That means you're just obsessive. And yeah, people need to, you need to realize.
Fine.
Yeah, there is a very fine line between being a fan and being a stalker psycho. Yeah. You need to, you know, if you're, and this is what I've kind of learned to do with my many years of K-pop and, you know, because of the sheer, you know, just what they put out. They put out so much and you feel like you know them. So I get to the point where, like, if I have a dream and one of these idols is in my dream, I go, well, that's enough. And I step away from that group. Like, I don't listen to their music or anything for like a week because I'm like, my mind is stuck on this person. And yeah. I need to take a step back because you shouldn't have, I mean, you have dreams about where your mind is. And if your mind's stuck on an idol group, you need to step back a little bit. And I'm not saying stop buying their stuff and whatnot. I'm like, take a couple days, you know, cleanse your brain. You know, you don't.
An hour, you know, that's completely different.
Yeah. And it's. And I'm the same way with, like, video games, too. If I have a dream and then I'm, like, a video game dream, I'm like, I need to stop gaming for a little bit. I'm having some weird dreams. But, yeah, and these, back to AOA, because
I digress.
So, I, even though they're not really for me, I can see why people like them. They're cute. Their dances are very geared towards men, which is exactly what a girl group is meant to do. The music videos are always nice. There are some silly K-pop music videos, and I will show you some of those later, Tracy. Like, the ones I have been showing have been, like, really good and really not crazy. I have some groups that will be like, oh my gosh, what is this?
The songs I cannot wait for that.
Trust me, even I had to shut some of them off. I'm like, nope.
Nope. Like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, so we haven't even got, we barely scraped the surface of, like, cringe.
Yeah.
But it's.
Bring it on!
I could just shove you right into the cringe, but I'm not going to. I'm not that mean. But I still personally, even though I love watching the dance, their practice dance videos in the
studio.
Yeah, they're kind of a side that we're not used to, I want to say. Because, well, American artists don't really dance, so. So they never see that because they don't dance. They just walk around on stage. But it's, I guess, because I'm used to being around dancers. I love watching people dance. And especially in this small setting, because there's nothing distracting you from the choreography.
And it's lovely to just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah. And then you can also, like, if you really wanted to, you could focus on one member. And the thing with these girl group dances is they are hard, but you can actually learn them as well. Just don't learn them in heels. We don't want any broken ankles. But you need to.
Sensible shoes, girls. Sensible shoes.
Some sneakers or something. Or flats, something. But they're fun. And that's another thing about K-pop that draws a lot of people is the fact that they can learn these dances. And it's just, and before concerts, sometimes people play the music and they'll have one of those, I don't know what they're called, where people jump in if they know the choreography and they'll dance the dances. Yeah. So it's actually really fun. And they do it a lot. They do them in, I saw one in Paris, and there's some people did it in England, and I saw there was someone in, you know, those inflatable T-Rex costumes.
Yes!
Yeah, I think he was in London, And he was, it was fantastic because it's just funny watching the inflatable T-Rex doing some K-pop.
Sure, what else are you doing there?
it's so much fun. And I don't know, I just, I love watching that. I love the culture that, because of this, and I'm happy that they're doing this now because the choreography behind the scenes type of thing is kind of a new thing. A new take that they've been doing. They didn't used to do this back in the day, back when I started. But I had to like scrounge for any content back then. But now the content's everywhere now. So they're doing that, and they have them do reactions to their own performances that you can watch, and it's very interesting. And oh my gosh, I always, whenever I watch the girl group dances, I always watch their legs, especially their ankles, because it's, you know, the top part is, you know, the cutesy stuff, but like where the real difficulty lies is like their legs and, you know, just the movements they have to do. Not breaking their ankles with the heels, and just, you can also
kick each other with the heels while they're doing moves. And see, guys don't understand this, you know what I mean? When you know, except for the guys who wear heels and they understand, but you know, it's not easy.
Oh no!
It's a workout in itself to walk in heels. So dancing in heels is twice as much.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's. Because you're on your like your tiptoes the entire time, and it is
not comfortable.
Painful. And it's also at least with these girls, you can kind of see that
women are extraordinary for being able to do it.
Oh my gosh, yes! Like the only time I can dance in heels is if I'm doing like a dance that has a partner. Because when you're in heels, you're kind of it's designed that you lean into your partner, and if you don't have a partner, it's really hard. And so
you're just tangled away there with your heels.
Yeah, and you hope your heels don't fall off, because then you're like falling to the ground, because then you have like a 6-inch difference in height.
Like, oh damn, you're really short. And you're like, yep.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Oh no, it is. It's
we're all the same size. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm just amazed at these women, and I don't even want to know what their feet look like after this, because. But anyway, I've been talking a lot, Tracy. You need to talk more.
It's okay though, because you tend to let me rant, because I'm the newbie. But I agree. Like as I said, these are very intelligent women. These are very strong women, and they're beautiful. They can dance. But that's the thing. I enjoyed looking at those rehearsal videos more than their actual videos, because you get to see the real thing. You get to see them practicing and giggling and having a laugh, and you know, it's not, you know, this crisp performance in full costume with full makeup, and it is amazing to watch how they can, you know, balance literally while they're dancing and moving. And that's a skill. It's a big skill set. And you know, especially AOA have had their ups and downs, a lot of controversy surrounded them for a while, and now they're trying to come back as this five piece, and they're just trying their best. And you know, would I like to see AOA Black? Yes. Would I like to watch more AOA Shaky Bum videos? No. But I know a lot of people who would.
Yeah. And that's just, the thing. You know, and that's what, you know, makes the world interesting, is people's different tastes and interests. And, you know, just because we don't really like them doesn't mean that we're going to look down on you for liking them. Because, you know, that's not really fair, because we don't want people to look down on what we like. And so why do that to others?
Exactly. And I think, again, with the community, you know, I was speaking to a couple of people today in relation to an event I'm helping with. And like the biggest thing I can say is community. All we want as a fandom, whether it's, you know, your K-pop, whether it's your comics, whether it's your movies or your tabletop gaming or your normal, you know, video gaming or whatever it may be, all we want is inclusivity. We all just want to feel welcome. And K-pop does that. So, you know, I've been finding since you've been generous enough to show me and teach me and guide me to certain people, that's what the artists are trying to promote. Mm-hmm. Whether they're a boy band who are edgy, whether they're a cutesy girl band who are sexy, they just want their fans to be happy.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of biggest thing from this. And AOA specifically, you know, they're being marketed towards a specific kind of man, yet there's a lot of young women who adore them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's wrong just because they're the sexy girls and not the, you know, smart, nerdy girls, you know, because behind their personas, they probably are.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about them. I think they even though they know that they're being sexualized to the max, when you see their kind of content stuff and when you see them with their fans, it's not about the sex. They're not trying to sell that. Where other bands, you know, in Europe, in the States, that's all it is. You know, so this is extremely refreshing to see. And again, just because they're not particularly something I would sit down and listen to all the time, there is one or two of the tunes I listened to that I thought, I could bop to that. I could shake my bum bum to that song. So, you know, it's about being open to these experiences.
And
people do that.
Yeah, and I'm just happy that K-pop is kind of more making a wave in a way over in the West, because it really is something that that feeling of belonging is kind of needed, because I don't know, somewhere read somewhere that millennials are the most lonely generation, and it's just nice to have somewhere where you feel like you belong. You can make friends at these within these fandoms, because you know you can all talk to each other in the fandom chat rooms and stuff, and you know, and I've actually met a couple people with the fandoms that I'm a part of, and they're all very interesting people. And there are a lot of older members, like there was a woman in her 40s. My sister is into K-pop now, and she's in her late 30s. So, you know, and I've gone to concerts, and I've seen people in like their 60s and 50s there without kids, like they just go themselves. And, you know, and it's nice to have that. And, you know, you can talk to people, and they do events, and it's like joining a club, like a really fun club. And that's all it is. And, you know, someone's not going to make fun of you for it. And, you know, they're going to accept you. You know, people are still people though. So there might be some nasties, because that's.
Get that everywhere.
You can't get nasty people exist. So you just can't. You can't let them bug you too much.
They're just the ones you ignore. You're like, yeah, whatever, mate. Later.
If you're on Twitter or whatever, you just block them. So don't engage, just block, you know. And
that's something, again, with us being, you know, from the Comic Crusaders and the UCPN network, like, we advocate inclusivity. We do not want anybody to feel like they cannot say what they need to say.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who brings politics in, anybody who brings in negativity, anybody who does that, we get rid of.
Yeah.
Because that is not who we are.
Yeah. Ugh, politics, the great divider.
Let's not even go down that road.
Anyway, I may be silent about things sometimes, but doesn't mean I'm not.
Silence loudest words, my darling.
I just,
But that's, you know, in this K-pop, you know, when you suggest, like, I remember when you said something about K-pop and I said, why aren't you doing the podcast? And you were like, well, you know, it's not that mainstream and it's really weird. And we're like, just do it.
Yeah.
There's other weirdos out there and we all want to be weird together, you know? And I'm so happy that you introduced me to this because I wouldn't have known a lot about it. I would have known about the cutesy little girls with the, you know, hey, look at me, smile, I got my hands up. And that's all I would have known. Where you after introducing me to some really interesting artists, and that's what they are. They're artists. They're these amazing musical people. And no, I'm not going to like everything you sent to me. And yes, we're going to disagree on things sometimes, but that's what it's about. And bringing K-pop forward is what you're doing. So, you know, you should be super proud of that too. And, you know, having the likes of AOA on it, who aren't a band that you would like, but that you would take the time to make a podcast about, says a lot about how you are within the fandom. And yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm a very... I don't know. I'm just old. I guess it's because of how I was raised is I know that these are people and you need to show people respect and you shouldn't, even if you don't like the group, you know, if you don't like them, you know, you don't have to buy their stuff. You just don't engage. I don't ever feel the need to go out and bully these groups just because I don't like them. I do not like people who do that. I think that's very inappropriate. These women and, you know, men and artists, they have so much that they have to struggle with, you know, and a lot of them have depression, and because they're always in the limelight, they're under scrutiny all the time, they're working all the time. So why make it worse for them? And it's very sad. It's like those who I see them the same way I see those who talk down to customer service people.
Yes.
Like if I'm on a date and the date I'm with, you know, treats the server like crap, it's an instant like, you're a dick. Like, I don't like you. They could be perfect in all other ways, but the moment they talk down to somebody is the moment I lose all interest, because you cannot treat people like that. I don't care if you disagree on anything and everything. You don't treat people like that. And so then through the years, I've seen girl groups and boy groups. I've seen the stress that these trolls have put on them. And it makes me sad. Even if I'm not a fan of their group, like it upsets me. So I try to be as I try to be as adult as possible about this, And just because I don't like something, I love introducing people to new things that they may like. So, you know, I'd be like, I don't really like this, but you may like this, you know, and that's the whole thing, you know, and there's so much variety with K-pop. I've just scratched the surface. I mean, it's still obviously pop music, but like, it's varied. And I haven't even touched on some of the soloists. And
I can't wait to do this.
The soloists,
amazing people out there that I've just from, you know, finishing one link and letting another link play, and I'm like, oh, who's this? It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a black hole. You kind of get sucked into it. It's great. it's like a colorful rainbow black hole.
Yeah. You
know? It's very pretty.
It's a rainbow hole.
Yeah. So it's great. And like I said, the concerts are, they're like the best concerts I've ever been to. They're so much fun. Like, even if you don't like K-pop and, you know, you don't understand and whatnot, just going for the atmosphere of these concerts is just amazing. There's just something so cool about all of the light sticks just all around you.
And
the fact that they mess with them backstage, so it goes along with the concert. So when you're in the audience, you're actually part of the experience. And it's just beautiful. It is amazing. And like, I would just recommend to people to look up, like, fan cams, not necessarily close-up ones, but ones that are kind of far back, because then you can get the view, and it just glitters. It's beautiful. It is so fun. But anyway,
that's amazing. You know what I mean? That just shows how much love you have for this.
Yeah, it's like being in a galaxy. It's really cool. But anyway, I digress. I'm going to explain a new K-pop term for you, Tracy, because it's going to be everywhere. All right. So, K-pop term for the day is bias, and everything that is associated with a bias. So what a bias is it is, as I say, is a million times. It's essentially, it means your favorite member, your favorite member of a group. So with AOA, like, someone's bias may be Jimin, or, you know, or one of the other, or Mina, or, you know, one of the old members. It's your favorite member, and it could be for any reason, like the way they dance, their voice, their personality, just who you like the most. And with that, it doesn't mean that you don't like the other members. It's just that you kind of
like them better.
Yeah, you just kind of connect with them more than the others, or your eye just naturally is attracted to them more than the others. I have quite a few biases, like in Shiny, it was Taemin and Key.
Yes, you said that.
But so your bias is who your favorite member is. They're like the person that you'd put on your phone because you want to see them, but you know, but and then also along with the bias, a lot of people have a bias list, so it's kind of like a ranking system. Like this person, so they're like, I love this person, and then number two will switch to number one, and they'll be like, well, today it's this person. So they just kind of have a list. Yeah, there's a bias list for some people. I don't do that. I just go, I love this person the most because of this, but I still love everyone else too.
Yeah.
Also, along with that, there is something called a bias wrecker. And a bias wrecker.
Wrecker.
Just think of a home wrecker, and that's exactly what they are. So, they're the member of the group that just kind of comes in out of nowhere and just like shoves your bias out of the way and be like, I'm the one that's in charge of this list now. You know, like, I'm number one now. Get rid of that person out of the way. Make way for me. So, yeah. So
that's a new one on me now, completely.
Yeah, like, oh, they're wrecking me right now. Be like, yeah, it's just, they're coming for me. They're wrecking me. I'm like, yeah, this member, they're trying to be my number one now. It's painful because it's kind of one of those ideas of, like, once again, K-pop fandom, it's all about, you have to think about it like thinking in relationship terms, kind of thing. Like, your bias is your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever, and then the wrecker is that guy or the girl that catches your eye and you're like, oh wow, they're hot. Or and then you're like, maybe we should go on a break. You know.
I think we should see other people.
And then you skip over to the other person, like, hey, I'm single. But yeah, and that's essentially what it is. And it's the easiest way to think about it. It's just like relationships. Okay. Home wrecker, bias wrecker, bias, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Significant other. You know, it's just when you stop and you look from a distance, it can be weird, but it's also kind of funny and cute. But, you know, like I said, if you start dreaming about these people, take a step back, you know, cleanse your mind, because you don't want to get obsessive. Yeah. That's a different term, and I will go over that later. But, yeah, so. So a bias is your favorite, and then just think boyfriend, girlfriend terms with everything else, because it'll make so much more sense. that is your K-pop term for the day, and class is dismissed, I guess, because I feel like I'm teaching.
School is out.
I need the little bells. I'll ask the audio guy to put in some, like, chimes. Maybe the chimes from like Greece.
maybe the audio guy for us.
Thank you, audio guy. But that this was AOA. Anyway, so this was AOA. They're not for me, but if you love them, more power to you. Any final thoughts, Tracy, on AOA?
Give them a shot. You'll know within two or three songs whether they're yours or not. So don't be afraid to check them out just because you're into rock music or because you're into something else. Give them a go, and you'll know very quickly.
Yep. All right. Well, this has been K-Pop Cosmos. I'm going to keep the next group a secret, mostly because I haven't decided yet. I have like three rolling around. I'm like, who should I do? So that will be a secret. And I hope you guys have a good rest of the month.
Bye.